you only take pictures from this existence. Your intelligence doesn't let you even to live it. You could waste it. And not having the real experience of love, of life, the way the animal do. This was the second story. Third story was the explanation of the rotten part in you. There is a rotten part in you, and it should be, because you are ripe, because you are the fruit that was fermented for so many millions of years. Now it's you. The rotten part of you comes from what? Don't think about Masnavi, okay? Don't think about Rumi. And don't think being clever. Think simple. In the third story, Rumi will tell you this is rotten part of you. This rotten part of you comes from what? It should come from those two stories he already explained, right? Over there, what was the problem with you? The intelligence. First problem of intelligence, working with rules, right? The second one, comparison. The third one is jealousy. Yeah. Rules. If you understand the exception, you cannot compare yourself with anyone, can you? So you go for the rules, quote-unquote rules, that the people are alike. Second, look at him, look at her. With that superficial value, suddenly you compare yourself. And the jealousy, which is that animal instinct, come out. So, you understood these three steps, right? What was the fourth story? Fourth story was actually a very good explanation of how you confuse yourself with this rule you understand. How do you confuse yourself? How? You don't think about the answer to the problem. You want to change the problem. To do something for it because you have blind, like this. You see a very, very narrow perspective. You are narrow-minded. What is your narrow-mindedness? Being selfish. This selfish fellow, the jealous fellow, who compares, who understands the rules, right? What is the rule? What is the basic rule you understand as an animal? Force, power. That's the first thing animal understands, right? Power. And you believe in power. How? Let's go back. You believe in power as a rule, so you don't understand the exceptional powers, right? Then you understand the power, visible power, the superficial power, which is the power of the muscle, right? So to you, who is the best? The lion. To us, who is the best? The hare. That was the story. Why? Because the lion is powerful. But the hare could listen, could get the message. That was it. Remember when hare succeeded, everybody said congratulations. They said, oh no, this is something came to me. We're having big ears. Listen. But you don't listen, look at you. He explained how you don't listen. Because this narrow-mindedness doesn't let you listen. You translate everything to the silly stuff you have in your mind in a way that it could be something there and you don't see it, And it could be some empty place, and you see and believe in the existence of something. Because you believe in your illusions. And you're not listening. That listening that sometimes they explain it as art of listening. These were first four stories. Fifth story, we said, you have a lot to learn. And you're looking around for it. But you're looking around like a silly fellow. You're looking for some signs. Some signs of what? In the search of happiness, what are you looking for? We're looking mainly for a sign of that power and richness we're talking about. That's what you are. You haven't changed from last story to this story. You will not change until we finish this. So you are the same fellow. You are the fellow who believes in self-intelligence, suffice with the superficial information, mainly jealous, and thinking that it's only me doing it. Or I let go. You don't understand, there's something in between. It's not you, but it's you, both. You could influence everything, and everything is out of your influence because everything is big and enormous. You have only a pot, right? All of this is that you're looking for a palace. You're looking for somewhere to park your car. Somehow you're looking for some theory, some thesis, which will approve or endorse your illusions. That's what you're looking around. You're looking around for something that you understand, you accept, you will be happy with. Amazingly, you will not be happy. That has nothing to do with happiness. You have to learn. And for this learning, you have to behave. Why? How come that in the classroom you could sit down no matter how and we have a free spirit and learn? But in here we say, you have to behave. What is the difference between this learning and that learning in academia? In academia, you don't have to behave very good. Actually, college is the best time to discover all the nasty things. But in here, you have to behave. Why? Because these are strict people. Look at them. These are silly people. I mean, they are silly. Their famous one is the crazy Majnun. They like to be crazy. They're not that restricted. But the restriction comes first. Why? Any answer?
Well, for one thing, you want to be here and you want to learn. So therefore, you put yourself in a different place. You have
the college, some college girl will say the same.
Here is a cooperative journey. It's not opposition. It's not trying to show the teacher to be wrong.
Yeah.
We go, as you say, we go on this journey together.
Yeah. Good explanation. It's more than that. Over there, you are there to learn. Here, you are to become, not to learn. There is nothing to learn. You have to become someone else. In your entire life, you picture someone else. And you think about some you better than you. To us, those are all nonsenses. To us, it is every single moment, you have to try to be better, to become better. You have to do it to become, not to know it. It's not a knowledge. It's a way, it's a path to walk, not to know the theory. Here we don't explain what a good human being is. That one, is explain and expressing the society as role model and things like that. We don't talk like that. Our heroes are faceless. We put them out of reach because they are out of reach and we do not know them. And what's the use for you to know if somebody is good or bad? You have to be good yourself first. First! Because if not, you are not qualified to judge anyone. Being better is the subject. And for this you have to behave. He explained the principle of behaving here. What was the principle of behaving? Now, this is the story we are in. Now I brought you where I expected you to be at the beginning. We are in the middle of fifth story, and Rumi, not himself, from the mouth of Umar Khalif, is explaining the rules of behavior. First, there is no palace. We don't promise you wealth. We don't promise you health. We don't promise you anything. But one thing. What is it? We promise you. He said, this Caliph of ours, he has an enlightened heart. That's what it is all about. He doesn't have a palace. He doesn't have a big garage and a valet parking and things like that. He's sleeping under a tree and he has a heart. This is what we are talking here. So, the people who are working with their brain here, they will build up the illusions, they will reinforce their selves, and they could actually end up with a bigger, a stronger ego and miss the point. He said, okay, let me tell you the rule. First rule is, yes, we don't fight each other. We don't settle even a dialogue here. Because dialogue is a technique for understanding. Here, we listen to the masters. You were sitting down reading the book of a man who is dead for 500 years, more than that. Right? We call him master. Because we are not looking for the general idea of the humanity which has changed during these 500 years. We are thinking about the soul. The soul could be in two different moods. First one is the animal one. Animal attitude is challenging, because life is a challenge, and animal is challenging every situation. There is other kind, other state of mind, which is not challenging, is co-working, coexisting, and absorbing something which is not describable, which has nothing to do with the mind, but it has a lot to do with the heart. A mind will not change if it is placed. Normally a mind will learn and will change a lot if it is placed in a challenging place. If you're in jail, you have to spend a couple of hours in jail. Your mind is working very hard to deal with this challenge. This is one state of the mind. The other one, the mind doesn't work that much. If you are put in a resting place, a very nice place for 2 days, and everybody is very kind and they treat you well, what is your mind thinking about it? Nothing. Doesn't believe even it could exist. And at the top, your mind will think that, okay, let's have more, this is good, let's have more of this. That's all your mind does. But something you could absorb. If this mind is not very clever and is not trying to exploit the situation, which you always do,